Part 1. 1. Foundations of an Officer. Lieutenant Stillwell, aged 28, met China for the first time in November 1911, at the moment when the most ancient of independent nations stumbled into the 20th century. 6 weeks before he came, revolution had erupted half by accident, and spreading from city to city in swaying battle against the imperial forces, was about to overcome the decrepit Manchu regime. Haphazard in outbreak, it was to be imperfect in triumph, for it failed to fill the void left by what it swept away. The monarchy, which had held together a quarter of the earth's population, found no firm successor. Fragmenting under rival claimants, and already penetrated by a maze of foreign inroads into her sovereignty, China, with lost cohesion and damaged confidence, moved into the oncoming storms of the world's most violent age. The visitor, on leave from military duty in the Philippines, was as pure Yankee in heritage as it was possible to be. He was the eighth generation in direct descent from Nicholas Stillwell, who had come to America from England in 1638, and acquired property in Staten Island, Long Island, and Manhattan. His mother's forebears, named Fowler, had also arrived in the 1630s, and over succeeding generations had gathered in the major strains of colonial America, English, French Huguenot, and Dutch. Nicholas Stillwell had produced some 1,600 descendants by the time Joe Stillwell was born, of whom two, Colonel Richard Stillwell and General Garrett Stillwell, fought in the American Revolution. A military career was not so much chosen by Joe as thrust on him by paternal whim. His father, Dr. Benjamin W. Stillwell, was a clever and handsome gentleman of authoritative character, comfortable circumstances, and a variety of talents not carried too far. He was the son of John Stillwell, a dry goods merchant of business sagacity and exemplary habits, who had retired with a considerable fortune derived from investment in real estate, and settled in Yonkers, where he built an attractive house overlooking the Hudson and became a director of the Bank of Yonkers and a pillar of the Methodist Church. The family home remained in Yonkers thereafter. Benjamin Stillwell took a law degree at Columbia when he was 21, but did not establish himself in practice. Following his marriage in 1880 to Mary A. Peen and the birth of a daughter, he moved to a plantation near Paletka, Florida, with the intention of developing a lumber business in Southern Pine. Here, on March 19, 1883, his first son was born and named Joseph Warren for the friend and physician who attended at his birth. The name had been inherited from the original Dr. Joseph Warren of Boston, who, refusing the post of Surgeon General for a more hazardous, active command, was killed in the Battle of Bunker Hill. Abandoning the venture in lumber, Benjamin Stillwell returned with his family to Yonkers, where he now took up the study of medicine and obtained a degree. But this profession, too, failed to attract him into practice. In 1892, the family, enlarged by a second son, John, and a second daughter, Mary, moved to a farm near Great Barrington in the Berkshires, where Dr. Stillwell decided to take up the role of country gentleman. After 4 years, he came to the conclusion that he was failing in the duty he owed society to make use of his endowments, and so returned once again to Yonkers, where he now accepted a position with a public utility, the Westchester Lighting Company, ultimately becoming vice president. Having at last satisfied the prodding of the Puritan conscience, which will not allow a man to live guiltlessly without a job, Dr. Stillwell enjoyed life thereafter as one of Yonkers' distinguished citizens, holding office as president of the school board and various directorships of Westchester banks and companies. With his imposing but genial presence and considerable charm, Dr. Benjamin Stillwell was accepted at face value by his family and community.